What happens when the most prominent gay politician in America challenges financial giants and fights for civil rights? Meet Barney Frank. All right, let's get into it. This is Truth Amplified with Vixie Steele. I'm Vixie. I've had just enough coffee to be dangerous and not nearly enough patience for nonsense. I'm fired up. I'm not here to coddle your feelings. I'm here to tell you what's real.
Barney Frank.
Look, if you don't know the name, you've still been living in the economy he helped rebuild. Massachusetts congressman from 1981 to 2013, the guy chaired the House Financial Services Committee right as the subprime bomb went off. He helped write Dodd-Frank, the huge overhaul meant to stop banks from lighting themselves and all of us on fire again. And while he was fighting Wall Street, he was also the most visible, openly gay politician in the country, coming out in 1987 when that was still considered political suicide. Then in 2012, he married his partner James Reddy while still in office. That's not just personal, that's a political earthquake, mate. He didn't pop up out of nowhere. Born in Bayonne, New Jersey, Jewish family with grandparents from Poland and Russia. Studied at Harvard, even took a course under Henry Kissinger, which Jesus Christ is a plot twist. Did Freedom Summer in 1964 down in Mississippi, then jumped into Boston politics with Kevin White. Elected to Congress in 1980, survived a brutal 1982 redistricting knife fight against Margaret Heckler by hammering Reaganomics. The man could talk. The man could count votes, and the man could turn a hearing into a masterclass. Washingtonian staffers kept calling him brainiest, funniest, most eloquent. Not an accident.
Now the messy bit. In the late 80s, Steve Gobey, yeah, that scandal. Frank asked for the House ethics investigation himself. They found no evidence he knew about illegal activity, but they smacked him with a reprimand for helping fix parking tickets and for misstatements tied to Gobey's probation. He took the hit, kept working, won re-election, and then became a force on financial oversight and civil liberties. He defended Clinton during impeachment while keeping respect for Henry Hyde, dropped lines like the Star Report being too much reading about heterosexual sex, and kept fighting for speech rights even when the speech was vile. That's a through line. Defend liberty when it's uncomfortable. That's when it counts.
He teamed up with Ron Paul. Yes, that Ron Paul. On Federal Reserve skepticism. Non-worshippers at the temple of the Fed. Their words, not mine. And he pushed net neutrality, opposed warrantless surveillance, backed needle exchanges, and tried to end federal marijuana prohibition way before it was cool. Animal welfare, environmental votes, cutting bloated military budgets by 25% while still protecting his district's jobs. The guy lived in the messy real world of governing, not the fan fiction where slogans fix everything. And he was hilarious about it, self-described as a left-handed gay Jew, weaponized wit as a political tool. All right, time for the big controversy everyone loves to throw like a brick. Did Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac money buy Barney Frank's support? The receipts people cite. Open Secrets logged over $42,000 from the GSEs to his campaigns since 1989. Plus, Fannie Mae grants $75,000 to a charity co-founded by his mother in 1994 and 2001. Add that his then partner, Herb Moses, worked at Fannie in the 90s. Authors Gretchen Morgenson and Josh Rosner said he protected Fannie. That's the accusation. It's not nothing.
Here's where I land. Yeah, no, listen. One, his legislative record doesn't scream protector. It screams regulator. In 2005, he co-authored a bipartisan House bill with Mike Oxley to tighten GSE oversight and fund rental housing. It passed the House, the Senate didn't touch it, and the White House was likely to veto. Oxley later told Frank it could have helped stop the bowling ball of housing. Two, Lawrence Lindsay, hardly a lefty, said Frank was unusual in pushing tighter rules even if it meant more renters and fewer homeowners. That's not how you talk if you're running interference for Fannie. Three, the crisis was bigger than any one entity. Private label securitization and shadow banking were joyriding without seatbelts. So, to be fair, the optics around contributions and the charity grants were ugly. I get why people side-eye it, but the record shows he kept trying to put the guardrails back on, even before 2008 lit the dashboard on fire.
and during the meltdown he did the grimy, unglamorous work. FHA expanded to stabilise housing. He admitted there'd be higher defaults but argued it prevented a freefall. He hammered predatory lending, passed the credit card holders' Bill of Rights, pushed foreclosure prevention and the National Housing Trust Fund. He wasn't worshipping markets, he was muzzling the worst impulses without strangling credit. Reasonable regulation, not a slogan, a survival kit.
And he kept evolving. In 2026, he said Democrats should de-escalate the culture war flashpoints around trans issues like women's sports, while still fighting for medical care access and gender designation rights. People got mad, shocker, but that's him. Strategic about where the public is, while holding the line on actual rights. Same with Israel, long-time supporter, then he called out Netanyahu and said halt weapons sales unless Palestinian suffering is addressed. Tough love, values first, even for allies. That takes spine.
Personal tangent, because why not? Years back, I helped a broke DJ pay off a stack of parking tickets. The kid was spiralling, so I fronted the cash and told him to get his licence sorted. Next thing I know, some genius says I got paid by a promoter to spin favourable coverage on air. I mean, what fresh disaster is this? No envelope, no kickback, just me trying to keep a 22-year-old from losing his car and his job. Optics looked bad, it was messy, I owned the help, explained it and moved on. That's the job. Do the right thing, get punched for it, do it again anyway. So yeah, when I look at Frank and the Gobi scandal aftermath, the GSE money noise, I see a guy who took the reprimand where it was due, kept pushing oversight that ticked off powerful friends, and kept showing up. You can disagree, drop your comments, bring sources, not vibes, but don't pretend four decades of work vanish because the narrative's tidier that way. That's society for you. It loves a simple villain more than a complicated public servant. He died in May 2026. Love him or hate him, the man rewired the financial rules while expanding civil rights and defending liberty when it actually cost something. Respect where it's due. And to the suits who still think deregulation is a religion, call me when you can explain 2008 without hand-waving. Until then, stop selling fairy tales. People lost homes while you counted bonuses. Fuck off with that.
I'm exhausted just saying it, bloody hell.
Politics is a meat grinder, but sometimes we get a butcher who actually knows the cuts. Frank was that. Sharp knife, steady hand, no apologies. And if that makes you uncomfortable, good. Discomfort wakes people up.
There. Now you know better. This has been Truth Amplified with Vixie Steele. Tune in tomorrow. I'll be here, louder, meaner, and with even less patience for stupid shit. Until then, keep your receipts. And for real, stop falling for glossy lies. Fucking hell.